All right. This is a beautiful morning, isn't it? God's blessed to be here today. God is just so gracious and good to us. I'm going to ask the youth to stay with us today. We got a special service that I think is going to be important for them to be a part of. We've been journeying along together in the book of Mark. If you're new with us, we're in the middle of this awesome journey through the Gospel of Mark, and we're looking at the life of Jesus and how everything he did was a demonstration of the Father. You want to know what God is about? Watch the life of Jesus. And everything he did was the reality of what it looks like when heaven invades earth. And Jesus has shown us over and over and over in every single situation, every ministry episode, what it looks like for the status quo and for life on our own strength and life doing it our own way, which we all love to do, life on our own pride and wisdom. Jesus shows us over and over what it looks like when that clashes with the goodness of the heavenly kingdom of God. And over, we see him redeeming situations, turning them upside down, demonstrating what it looks like for heaven to break in and invade earth. And so we are learning from him a ton, and we get to learn from his disciples as well, because not only did Jesus demonstrate heaven on earth, he also invited people to learn this new way of life, and that it wasn't just for him to do, but it was for his disciples to experience. And we see this incredible invitation that he also invites us to be his cherished disciples. And so the life that he modeled is an invitation for us to live in that same power of watching heaven invade our status quo. So we're going to continue on in that journey today in the book of Mark. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 9. And it's kind of cool how this is all working out. It's a teaching on children. And it was planned, I'll be honest, our plan was about 2 weeks from now, 2 Sundays from now, to do this text on children. But as the idea came up for Cade's dedication today, I was like, all right, Lord, I think you got some cool plans to let this celebration that we just did feed in and introduce really what God wants to do among us today in regards to teaching us about his heart for the little children. So Mark chapter 9, if you don't have your Bibles, it's going to pop up there on the screen. Verses 33 to 37. So it says, they, Jesus and his disciples, came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, Jesus, he asked them, what were you disciples discussing along the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and the servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him into his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Let me say a prayer for us before we go any further. Lord Jesus, we just pray, even as those words, receiving you. Lord, we want to be open this morning to receive from you. And we know that that's not a one-time thing. That's a daily thing, Lord. As your word says to the churches in Revelation, you stand at the door and knock because you want to come in and have dinner with us. In other words, you want to go deeper in relationship with us. And that was to a bunch of awesome churches that already had received you, Lord, in that incredible reality that there's always more with you. Always more. But you're a gentleman. You don't bust down the door. You knock. And I pray, God, that you would help us today. Help us open that door. And I want to give a moment of quiet just between you and the Lord. And if you want to receive more of what God has for you in this life today, then let's take a quiet, sacred moment and just tell God, Lord, I want to open the door today. I'm open to receive what you want to do in my life. And so let's just take a minute and let those silent prayers go up as offerings of worship to God. Lord Jesus, we worship you and we honor you. We know that many dozens of prayers went out just now expressing our hunger for you, God. We want to come to drink from the well of living water again, Lord. We want to forsake all other things and drink from you. We want to come and eat at the bread of life at your table. So we honor you, God, with those prayers of hunger that just went out saying, Lord, we're ready to receive. Lord, we believe that you are honored and praised. You are most glorified as you become the joy of our hearts. So we just pray, God, we want to receive more of you today so that you could be more glorified as the treasure of our souls. So come, Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way in each of us individually and as a family. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to get there. Here we go. Imagine the scene. Jesus and his disciples just get back home, okay, from a long ministry journey, out doing their awesome thing, seeing all sorts of miracles and signs and wonders, and Jesus is bringing heaven, he's healing the sick, he's casting out demons, he's loving the unlovable, and just doing his Jesus thing. And the disciples get to be a part of that, and so they come home, right, to take a break. And it's interesting. Jesus says, all right, guys, come on, get over here. Get over here. It's time to talk. Sit down. Team meeting. Family huddle. We got some things to discuss. I know what you were whispering about on the road. You guys want to be the greatest. Okay, welcome to humanity, right? We've all got that prideful ambition inside of us. And Jesus says, look, that's not how my kingdom works. The way of God's kingdom coming to earth is not the way of the fallen world. If you want to know how God is going to conquer the brokenness and the hurting and the lostness of this world, then Jesus often says, well, just do the opposite of what humans have come up with on their own strength. And you get God's upside down way of seeing heaven break in. And so Jesus says, kind of, you don't believe me? Watch this. If you want to be a leader, be a servant of everyone. A servant. That is not an esteemed position. We even looked at it last week. Plato said, you know, why would I want to serve someone else? That's the Greek thinking of the day, of the leaders of the day. Why would I want to serve someone else? That puts me in this inferior position where they're better than me. It's not esteemed to serve. And Jesus says, you want to be great in God's kingdom? You want to see God's kingdom come through you? Serve other people. And he probably got the response of crickets, you know, looking at him. What? I thought we were going to bring the kingdom. I thought God's bringing the kingdom. I thought there's something, this new movement's happening where Jesus is going to finally make all things right. We need to be powerful. And Jesus says, no, come here. You want an example? Come here. There's a little child in the house running around. He says, come here, buddy. And he takes him into his arms and he embraces him. And he says, you want to bring the kingdom? Have time to receive little children. If you can't receive little children, you can't receive me, which means you're not even receiving my Father. Crazy strong language Jesus uses. You're not receiving my Father if you can't receive a child. If you can't honor and value and bless a child. This did not make sense to them. They're thinking that they're going to be leaders of this new powerful movement where Jesus makes all things right. He kicks out the Romans. He puts himself as king and finally just, you know, gives Israel their destiny as a prized possession in the land. And Jesus says, so his disciples have, they're thinking this, and so they don't have time for people that do not wield political power. Jesus is saying though, whoa, disciples, you guys are looking for the people that you want to be the greatest, you want to have the top spots, you want to be the top dog, you're thinking like the fallen world. My kingdom's going to come another way. And he says this, Jesus is showing them that in God's way of doing things, in God's economy, as Jesus is displaying that important to-do list that we all have. Oh, I'm an adult. I got important to-do list. I got the tasks. I got, you know, I'm big and important and special, and I got to do all my stuff. Jesus says, if you're really doing the kingdom, if you're bringing the kingdom, that won't put children in the background. That children are honored, esteemed, valued players in this new earth, this new heaven that's going to come to earth. Reminds me of the C.S. Lewis quote that I forgot and honestly don't really know what he says, but the gist of it stuck with me. So go with it, all right? If you can find it, I'll give you big props. I couldn't even find it. But the summary of the idea is he says the most sacred or holy thing you will ever find is the person right next to you. We all look for what's holy. Well, how can I honor God and just be holy and pursue all these important things? And I love how the gist of it is you'll never find something more holy than the person right next to you. Made in the image of God, made with the dignity of heaven, made with the stamp and the mark of the Creator himself, each made to uniquely reflect God's goodness in a way that no other single person on the planet can. You will never find something more holy than the person right next to you. And so, how we respond to children makes all the difference in the world to Jesus. If we think ourselves that are so busy with important things to do, so serious that we're not able to stop and honor and value and pick up in our arms and tenderly and affectionately embrace and bless and play with, then we are missing major opportunities all the time to see the kingdom break in. And Jesus puts this as a little litmus test. How you respond to children is a good indication of where your heart's at with whether or not you're ready to really receive the kingdom and let it flow through you. That's a crazy teaching. That's a gut check teaching. It was for his disciples and it is for us. That we have as much possibility of seeing God's will done on earth, God's kingdom breakthrough through the way that we interact with and relate with children as we do any other situation. That is a gut check. So incredible for Jesus that they are not an afterthought. They're not a segregated, they just need to go over there and do their children thing. Rather, they are an integral, valuable, necessary part of the kingdom truly coming. So Jesus encourages us in those words, slow down enough to be able to look into the eyes of a child, into the heart of the child, see the beauty, the wonder, the hope, the freedom, the joy, and through it, a promise from Jesus comes that more of heaven is going to break into your life. It's a good promise. That's what we're pursuing. But Jesus doesn't even stop there on the value, which is enough in itself to be incredible and challenging and to wrestle with and ask God to change our hearts. He goes even further than that. In another chapter later, Mark 10, 13 to 16, it says this. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Watch this. Even after the teaching that the disciples got, watch, the disciples rebuked them. Basically said, get away from Jesus. He's got important things to do. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Come on, I'll say that word with me. Indignant. One more time. You're not feeling indignant today. But that's good. That's okay. That's good. That's not the goal. But Jesus was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Amen. You know your place in the world. And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. So this takes Jesus' earlier teaching even farther. I mean, if you think Jesus was messing around when he talked about children that one time, he gets even stronger and more pointed here. But let's step back for a minute. So he's doing his ministry thing, right? The disciples are trying, get the picture, that Jesus is doing his ministry thing. He's blessing people. He's healing people. He's praying for people. He's casting out demons. He's loving the unlovable. Just being the heart of the Father on earth. And little children come. Parents are like, oh, look at this man. He loves everybody so much. Maybe he can go and he can bless our children. He can pray for them. Maybe they had some sick kids. They wanted the kids to get healed. We don't know. But they were bringing, parents are getting bold and seeing the love that Jesus showed, said, let's go get touched by this guy. Let's get prayed for. Let's get blessed. And the disciples rebuke them. That's a strong word. Rebuke. That's what Jesus does to demons. Get out of here. You're not welcome. You don't have a right to be here. That's that word cast away that Jesus uses for demons. And the disciples think that of children. You don't have the right to be here. You're not worthy to be here. Wow. And Jesus, now they're probably trying to help, right? They're not trying to be bad guys. They just don't have the kingdom mindset yet of the heart of the Father. They're trying. They probably assume that they're helping Jesus achieve the true goals of ministry, the true valuable things in ministry. So get away. Those who are not really the important people in God's kingdom. So, in the only recorded place in the book of Mark, it says that Jesus was indignant. That is a strong word. That means really fired up, really mad. And that's pretty astounding. The only place in the book of Mark that Jesus gets described as indignant is right here. Think about that. Of all the situations, all the injustice that Jesus faced. There's actually in Mark 1:14, there's a strange, weird translation. When Jesus saw sickness the first time, he was indignant. But that gets a little convoluted because there's another word as well. But the point is, that one and this one are the only even remotely two possible times of all the things that Jesus saw, of all the things he encountered, of all the things that were against God's will, of all the things that were not what God had intended his creation to experience, which he's finding all over the place because that's what he's doing. He's turning it upside down to bring heaven to earth. Of all those places, this is the only time that Jesus gets indignant with the situation. Because, as he says, the kingdom belongs to them. Belongs to them. Heaven belongs to the little ones. That is incredible. Think about our world. Power, prestige, also all those important things, the serious things. Who does that belong to? Jesus says the most serious stuff in all of the universe belongs to the children. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Now, that is a very interesting phrase. You can't get more close to the heart of Jesus than talking about the kingdom of God. That is his mindset for what he's doing on this earth. Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God, the gospel is that the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, it's right there within your reach. Heaven is within reach. You guys know the famous Lord's Prayer where Jesus said, thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Your will be done. Okay, what's God's will? Do y'all want to know God's will? Here it is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Simplest, most beautiful description of God's will ever and the kingdom is that God wants heaven to come to earth. He wants to break it in. The wholeness, the perfection, the goodness of heaven, Jesus is bringing it now. And he's saying that's what he wants for you. That salvation is for it to be coming more and more into your life now. The healing, the redemption, the freedom, the transformation. And the craziest thing about it is that he's fighting to accomplish this every day in every situation, every episode we see. Jesus is bringing the kingdom. He's bringing heaven to earth. And then he goes and says, children are so central in this redeemed humanity and redeemed earth and the will of God for God's huge plan of salvation that he can say that it belongs to them. Wow. That is incredible. So what does it mean? What does that mean that it belongs to them? A couple things. One, we've already seen it. So just a quick jump on that for a moment. We've already seen that what he means that it belongs to them is children have so much inherent value. You kids have so much inherent value as beloved of God, made in God's image, that you right here deserve to be loved and accepted and esteemed and valued as an incredible part of this church family and what God wants to do in us and through us. That's part one. Part two is Jesus says this, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like who? All the important bigwigs of our position of power? No. The model for how to receive the kingdom is them. Like a little child, the model for how to get more of God in your life is watch them. That's crazy. That's crazy. But he's serious. He is saying that there are some inherent things about being a child that make them more ready to receive and experience God that adults should learn from them. And that's where he takes it to the next level. The kingdom belongs to them because we need to learn from them. They have a lot to teach us about some inherent things that opens the heavens into our life, that enables us to receive heaven. Jesus says, be like little children. And there's a lot, obviously, there. What does that mean to be like a little child? And there's a lot we could pull out. But in true elevation style, which says that everyone is a minister, including children, and if this is your first week, this is not just, oh, talking about kids for a week. We have had kids up on the stage on multiple occasions. We've had kids lead the entire sermon with just testimonies of what God's doing in their life. So we have the right to say this message because we're living it. But rather than just list a bunch of ways, we want to live it out again, that everyone in elevation, including the kids, is a minister. So Jess, you can go ahead and make that happen there. So what we're going to do is I want to spend some time. I want to give opportunity for a few of our kids. Now, this was a hard process because last week at Youth Alone, we had kids giving testimony for an hour. Over 15 kids gave testimony of fresh things that God was doing in their life, miraculous things. And I'm like, oh, man, I got like 5 minutes in the message. So what's that? We ran out of time. I cut them off. Yeah. They were said, hey, can we go longer? I said, no, we can't do a traffic jam. So there were more. I got made the bad guy. So anyways, it was hard to even pick, but I want to have about three or four kids come up and just, I want to ask them, I've already asked them to come and share a few of the stories of what God is doing in their life lately. And now here's the key word, lately, because it's fresh. We had the kids testifying for an hour of last week, and we, you know, a few months ago, they came up here and they, again, had stories for an hour's worth. So this is lately. They're learning to be disciples, which is God wants to blow your mind on a regular basis. It's not like, oh, yeah, well, 5 years ago, I had this cool experience with God. God wants to say, what is he doing in your life lately? Because he wants to transform you all the time. So with that in mind, let's have some of our folks come up. So Ethan, why don't you start us off here? And then if I've asked you to come up already, if I've already asked you, go ahead and come up now so just we can kind of make it quick here. Before we do that, before I let them talk as they're coming up, my challenge is that as we move forward in elevation as our family, the mindset we want to have is that children are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And that's a huge difference. Because if Jesus is right about the fact that the kingdom belongs to them and we want to experience the kingdom in our life, which is what we do, that's like our main pursuit, that's like our mission statement, then we need to become like them. And that means we have a lot to learn from them, and they are a real part of the church. And here's the very important difference. We have a lot to learn from them now. Not in 10 or 15 years when they graduate high school and become a real person and they become a real part of the church. You know what I'm saying? Not according to Jesus. The kingdom belongs to them now. And so in pursuit of more of the kingdom of God breaking into our lives, we want to affirm they are an absolutely central part of this journey that we are on to see heaven invade earth right now. They have an irreplaceable contribution to make. And so we will seek to value them, to honor them, to embrace them, to learn from them. So in that spirit, come on over, guys. And just a few of our incredible, awesome kids are going to share today. So this is Ian and his little man, Ethan.
Come here, buddy.
Yeah, so give him a little clap.
He said that he was automatically healed and he didn't have any pain anymore.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add one more thing. I was healed immediately. I felt warmth and tingling in my arms, and what I had been experiencing for 6 months was gone immediately, and it's still gone. Yeah, I don't take Advil. I don't, nothing. You know, I have no pain, strength's back. And I was thankful, you know, for what God had done through my son. And but the thing that I prayed that night, I was humbled by his faith. And my prayer was, Lord, I want a faith like that. Like, not just to move a mountain, but to shift a planet. It was incredible. And it was humbling and a blessing.
Yeah. How old are you, Ethan?
I'm 9.
All right. Good work. Thank you. All right, so we had two Saturdays ago, some of our junior high and high schoolers went down with some of our youth leaders to an event called Renovate in North County, San Diego, just a day of worship and prayer and going out in the community. And so that's what the bulk of our stories last Wednesday were, of some incredible experiences of those kids. And a few of them got sick today, and so we got a couple representatives from that crew who are going to real briefly just share a couple of the different encounters they had with God there. So. Sure. If they talk about a treasure hunt, what that is just getting before the Lord and saying, God, we want you to use us right now. We want to go bless some people that need to be touched by you. We want some divine appointments. And so literally what you do is you just sit there and you pray and you wait and say, God, bring things to mind right now. Bring things to mind that are part of your divine appointments that we are going to then put the pieces of the puzzle together and go out and just go in your power and bring your kingdom. And so they did some treasure hunts. And so as they hear you talking about that, or as you hear them talking about that, and some of the words that came to mind, what they do is after they pray, they'll share the different words of, okay, this came to mind and this came to mind. And then they kind of look it together and see if it makes sense. And sometimes it's like, oh, we need to go here in this location and we look for this person with this red hat on or whatever it may be. Or sometimes like, I'm not really sure what it means. Let's just go cruising and see what the Lord does. So anyways, with that in mind, this is Mandy.
Good job, Casey. So Saturday, we all headed up to Renovate with the Dimignotts family and a couple other youth leaders. And they took us up there, and we all met at Chick-fil-A to do some morning worship in front of Chick-fil-A out in the open. We had a guest player play for us, and it was really awesome. And we just had a bunch of our youth group and a bunch of other youth groups, and we were all in a circle outside of Chick-fil-A, singing, worshiping out in the open, show everybody we love God and God loves us. And we were singing one song. I don't remember what song it was, but I saw this guy. He was walking over on crutches. He looked like he was like a homeless guy, and I thought he was coming over because he heard the music and he wanted to come sing with us and come pray with us. But then he turned the opposite direction away from us. So I kind of felt like disheartened, like, oh, God set up that guy, but he just didn't listen to God. So I kind of got some other youth leaders' attentions, and we took, who did we take? We took a bunch of girls, and we had a couple of the youth leaders come with us. And we went over and we met the homeless guy in the parking lot, and we introduced ourselves and we told him what we're doing. And this is before Josiah, the founder of Renovate, has even showed up. So we asked him, what's wrong? Why is he on crutches? And he said his foot hurts, and it hurts every morning. So we prayed for him, and there's people on the ground crying, and there's people standing up praying over him. And at one point, I looked up at him, and he was just looking out in the distance, and he was so in tune to our prayer and our love that he really felt it, and he was shaking his head like he knew what was going on, and he was getting healed. And I'm 14. We had 12-year-old. I'm 15. We had 12 and 13-year-olds praying for this guy we don't know out in the open. And later after our prayer, he was walking barely with the crutches because they're kind of a handicap because he's always used them. But later on that day, we saw him without the crutches. So we believe that through us, God healed that man.
Yeah. This is Sam.
Well, when we were doing the treasure hunt, when we were all thinking, my friend Erin, she got easel, and my mom, she's like, oh, that's awkward. She told my mom, she's like, I got easel. And she's like, okay, just put that down just in case you find someone. So we were walking to Starbucks, and we see this guy with an easel on his lap. And so I call Aaron. I'm like, Aaron, you got to come over here. There's a guy with an easel. And so we asked if we can pray over him. And then he started drawing for everyone because he was a really good drawer. And then we found out he was a Christian. So he showed us a picture of Jesus he drew. And then after that, Aaron, we were all praying over him. And then he's like, oh, sure, you can pray over me. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then so after we prayed over him, he's like gave the picture, I think, to Stephen. And it was really cool because I was like, that's so random that you got the word easel and we found a guy with an easel. And that is so amazing. I was like, praise Jesus. So.
Yeah. Thank you, girls. Awesome.
And that, it could just go on and on. We had a crew that couldn't be here this morning that they're telling the story last Wednesday. They were out in Canyon Lake. It was like four girls, junior high girls, and they said they're on the street corner. First of all, they said, yeah, we were just singing worship songs on the street corner, and then we decided we want to go to Ashlyn's house and just see if she wants to pray. And I'm like, who are you? You guys are 11 years old, you know, like. So anyways, they're just worshiping God on the street corner, and then they decide to go and see if their friend wants to just pray. And so they go and knock the door at Ashlyn's house, and do you want to pray? Okay. So they just pray, and then they end up feeling like the Lord led them. They're supposed to be, you know, praying at their school. And so it was like the next day, there was one of their, I think it was their PE teacher that was having some major problems, and so they went up and asked their other one of their other teachers if they could go pray for their PE teacher. And so they somehow gave permission. And so they went up and just in the middle of PE and just ended up, we call them the Prayranos. This is where it's beautiful all over Elevation right now. It's a little prayer piranhas, and it is just happening. When the Holy Spirit comes to pray for somebody, it was just like, you know, there's like all of a sudden they're all over you and dropping the love bomb. So anyways, the Prayranos just start going, and they said they just prayed for this teacher. They said by the time they looked up, there was like 15 kids that had circled around, all from Elevation Youth, and then a few extras that had circled around and began praying over this teacher. And it was just, that is mind-blowing. They're 11 and 12 years old. Yeah. And they're just literally just shifting, you know, shifting the atmospheres, bringing the kingdom, bringing God's love, bringing God's healing in wherever they go. And that's just, this is just a little taste. We've had Chloe came up here a while back and shared where, you know, she had a vision from the Lord while she was in the service. She just saw God. As the Bible says, God's going to give visions and dreams. And she saw a vision of the Lord, and she saw the Holy Spirit. She saw this big fire above the stage, and this fire was pouring down. And then she said she felt like God told her it was the Holy Spirit, and God's giving the Holy Spirit to Elevation. And it was beautiful. And that was like the first time that had happened. And there's been other kids that have been used to heal out in the community. And I am just in awe of our kids. I want to be like our kids. I walked away from Wednesday night like, I want to be like them. They're hearing from the Lord in real ways. I mean, you can't make up that easel and you walk next door and there's a dude in an easel, those kind of things. And the healings that have taken place in Ethan and or through Ethan. And just, wow, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the children among us who are experiencing the kingdom of God. And the only thing I feel bad about is that just there's many more of them that could share. I want to draw one lesson and then we're going to do something special with the kids. There's so many things we could touch on, but I want to simply hit with one for us. What does it mean to have childlike faith? Well, I think Ethan started it off. Children have huge, expectant faith to believe in the God of the impossible. They believe in the goodness of God. Look at that heart. He's like, he's praying to God. God, I know that God, you're not a God of troubles. You're not a God of suffering. You're not a God that wants to see your people sick. What an incredible demonstration of knowing the heart of the Father and saying, I expected, and I did not tell him to use that word, I expected God to heal my dad. That is biblical faith. Over and over, we see people coming up to Jesus, and when their lives get transformed, when the kingdom comes, it's through their expectant faith that believes in the God of the impossible. And I want us to be challenged by that, because something terrible happens. And one of the most damaging things, when all of us, as we grow up, One of the most damaging things that happens is that we get told and then we believe that God can't do miraculous big things on a regular basis. That is one of the most damaging things that ever happens to us. That is a major attack of the enemy, is to convince you to put God in a box. And over time, God gets smaller and smaller. And before we know it, we unintentionally live out our lives of little faith in, maybe it's unspoken, but clear expectations of the limits of what God can do in our life. This is what I expect God to do, and here's the limits, and I'm going through the motions, and I've been doing the same motion for 20 years, and here's the limits, and what kids show us, they want to break us out of that, and just Jesus shows us over and over, if you put limits on God, your experience with God will be limited. You want the kingdom to come? Say, God, break the boxes. Break the limits. Break my expectations of how miraculous, how real, how transforming, how much I could hear from you, how much you could heal through me, how many visions you can give me, how many healings that can happen, how many big steps of faith I can take and watch you move mountains. Thank you, children. I just bless you guys. We love you. You are so valuable. You make an absolutely irreplaceable contribution to Elevation. Let me close with this. I believe Jesus wants us to learn from them to have this wide open wonder, this wide open be children again in our faith, have a clean slate. And that's one thing that it's happening in me. This is my journey in the last year, a lot through them, a lot through seeing healing happen through my five-year-old. And it's so normal that he's like, I'm like, aren't you excited? He's like, yeah, Dad, can I have some, you know, Bakugans? He wants to play with his toys right afterwards. It's like, dude, this is awesome. He's like, yeah, no, that's what Jesus does, Dad. That's what Jesus does. And I'm learning through my kids. I didn't heal someone until I was like 20-some-odd years old. And now in the past year, it's really happening. But wow, first it was my 8-year-old, and now it's my 5-year-old, and we're talking to my wife yesterday. We believe our 7-month-old is going to heal by the time he's 3. It's getting younger, right? Let's learn from the children to have this expectant faith in our God of the impossible. Jesus says it. If you believe him, he wants to move mountains. When's the last time God moved a mountain in your life? God is moving mountains in the lives of the kids. That God, those promises of the scripture, that God wants to move mountains, are not hyperbole. They're not Jesus getting a little bit too excited. They're about the reality of what the kingdom is meant to look like when we have the faith like a child. And those verses of Jesus saying, Paul saying that Jesus wants to do more in your life, that it so overwhelms you that your life can be described as God doing more than you can even ask or imagine. When is the last time you sat back and said, oh, God, you are doing more in my life than I could even imagine. It's happening for me, and that's what is getting me childlike. Of just like, throw the doors off, throw the boxes off. God, it's so fun to be free from the limits and just say, God, what's next? What is next? Well, how are you going to blow the doors off of my life next where I get to sit back and chuckle? You are doing more than I can even imagine because you're so good. You're so powerful. Or what about the reality that Jesus wants to invade our life so much that when people look at it, they have to say something supernatural is taking place. Our kids are doing it. You can't sit and listen to them for more than a few minutes and other than to say, I mean, if it can be done by human reason, if it can be done by human strength, that's not enough. God wants to use those things, and yes, and they're important, but God also, of following Jesus, wants to be this experience of his kingdom in a way that can only be described as God supernaturally is present. And that's a good challenge. Is my life, is the only explanation for what's happening in my life supernatural? Because that's when I look at these kids. You can't do it any other way. Supernatural, miraculous, are meant to be the normal descriptions that people have to come up with of followers of Jesus. Because the destiny The Bible's not messing around when it says the destiny is that you will be transformed to be like Jesus, like Jesus, like Jesus, where he walked the earth from one degree of glory to another. That means our life, this is the kingdom, is so beautiful invitation. As we surrender, our life will look more and more like the Jesus who healed people, who cast out demons, who loved the unlovable, who had unspeakable joy, who had peace in the midst of crazy pressure and storms, who could go through the most pressure-cooking persecution and say, guys, learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's some good news right there for this world. I want to learn that light yoke, Jesus. That's heaven breaking in. And all the many, many more things he does. Let me pray a prayer and then we're going to bless our children. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Help us have humble hearts to learn from these children, Lord. They are so beautiful. They're so wonderful. They're so full of faith. They are full of the kingdom. Heaven is breaking in and invading earth through them. Lord, teach us to be like them, Lord, with their expectant faith, Lord, and their freedom and their openness to hear from you and their just... oh, humble, open expectations that you will be great and miraculous in their life. It's so honoring to you, Lord, because that is your gospel. Help us to learn from them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that this is the gospel invitation from you. We just bless you, Lord. Pray you give us hearts today. Like little children, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, here's how we're going to close. So Jesus finished his little teaching with his disciples by saying this. He took the children into his arms and he placed his hands on them and he blessed them. In other words, he prayed blessings over the children to affirm who they are in God's eyes. To tell them their value, their love, their acceptance, their incredible place in the kingdom. So what we're going to do in a minute here is we're going to invite all the Elevation kids to just spread out up front and go around. If you're under, if you're in high school or below, you're an Elevation kid for today. All right? And we're going to invite you guys who are above high school and up. You get to bless the children. So I'm going to put up on the screen here, and Gary, you can go ahead and do that. Some suggestions. I want you guys to come. As Jesus said, lay hands on them, a loving hand. If you got kids of your own kids in the room, parents, find your kids. If you don't have kids in the room, find a kid that you know. Not quite yet. Find a kid that you know. And if you don't know anybody, just find somebody that is just the Holy Spirit saying, go for them. And if that doesn't work, just find a little one that you want to hang out with. Pray some blessings over the kids. Today, we want to honor and bless the children. So bless them. Pray for them. A blessing is a prayer, praying that they would know more of who they are in God's eyes. So here's some examples. That they would know that they are beloved sons and daughters of the King. That they would know that God is smiling over them. That they would know that God dances over them. That they would know that they are loved and accepted and valuable in God's eyes. That they would know that they have an irreplaceable contribution to make to this church family and to see the kingdom come. Thank God for them, like we did with Kate. Thank God for the gift they are. And thank them and pray that they would know that we have so much to learn from them. And tell them that. Bless them. Say, we have so much to learn from you. You're awesome. And pray that God would empower them to just do miracles like he's already doing more of them. All right, so here's what we do, kids. Let's go from, we're a little cramped here, so let's spread back out to about halfway up that wall, excuse me, over there. And then, Kim, why don't you take them, like, up the wall there. And again, if you're high school and under, I want to ask you to come to the front or just come to this area and keep spreading out. Looks like you got plenty of room. Spread out, guys. Come this way. All right. And so then, go ahead now. Kids, or all of you adults, let's do it. Let's get up and let's bless the children. Again, if you need some suggestions, It'll be up there. So make sure every kid, get somebody to pray for us. Go ahead and move out here. Hey, kids up front, why don't you guys spread out just so we can make some room for adults to come over here. Spread down that way, guys. Spread down that way, guys. Keep going, all the way down, buddy. Keep going. Here we go, Sean, help him out, attaboy. Awesome, awesome. Make sure every kid is someone praying over them. Hop over some rows if you need to. Hop over some rows. All right, let's bless our children.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.